This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Sunflower Bean. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Eric Holland at WFUV. Holland, dude, this is not the first time that you have had the chance to talk to this rockin' local New York City band, although a couple of them are now living in the West Coast, but we'll forgive them for that.
That's right, we will. Yeah, Nick and Julia are on the West Coast now, but Olive is representing in Brooklyn, and it was in Austin. I went down to South by Southwest about the time they released their debut album when I first crossed paths with Sunflower Bean, and we were talking about it when they were just here. They were on a bill with Loretta Lynn, which was, you know, such a kick for them. And,
yeah.
And I got to shoot some video of them in those days. And boy, what a great ride it's been watching them and listening to them get into different things. But they took a little time off and they kind of did their own thing. And I think they brought that experience and sense of renewed purpose to the band over the last couple albums. I love the last EP called Shake, as well as Mortal Primetime, the new record.
Yeah, and this album is so strong and it's really so good from start to finish. So we were lucky enough to have them play three songs live in the studio. What is the first song that we're going to hear in this session?
First one is a banger, and there's a great little wink at Iggy Pop in it. It's called Champagne Taste.
Lips, even more I like your clothes.
the bean in the house. Sunflower Bean FUV Live. That was Champagne Taste from the new record Mortal Primetime at 90.7. Eric Holland with all three members of Sunflower Bean, Nick Kivlin, Julia Cumming, Olive Faber, and running on all cylinders on that one with some muscular bass playing and some fiery fretboard and Olive bashing. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's amazing to be here. We love FUV.
Yeah, our old pals. And it's been too long.
Yeah, I agree.
Truly. You know, I listen to FUV, you know, almost every day because I'm just driving around constantly. And if I could tell a small story very quickly, we were leaving for tour a couple of days ago and FUV was on. And this song came on. I was like, what is this? What is this song? I was like, I don't know.
We were in the car together.
We were in the car. Yeah, I was like, it was a Who song off of Who's Next. And the Who, you know, they're one of my favorite bands of all time. But historically, like, I've only listened to Live at Leeds and Tommy. Anyways, that kind of sparked me. I've been listening to Who's Next for like the last 4 days.
So what was the song?
I forget what it's called, but it's like, this song is over.
You don't know that song?
The song is over because that's the name of the farewell tour. Yeah, yeah, Dennis played that, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome song. I was like, what is this?
You guys never listen to Who's Next?
I did.
Because that's the only one that I've ever listened to.
Live at Leeds has everything extensively. For me.
Okay.
Olive and I are the Who fans of Sunflower Bean. So, yeah, it was a nice moment to hear that on FUV together.
On Champagne Taste.
We're getting off track.
I just let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll talk Who all day.
No, yeah, we gotta go.
On Champagne Taste, it's got to be a wink to Iggy Pop right out of the box, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Iggy is definitely a hero for all of us. And still one of, you know, I saw him perform in 2017 at Desert Days, and it was the best show I ever saw. And I don't think on any song we've ever been able to channel Iggy so much, but I do a lot of channeling when I'm doing vocals, and so it was very exciting to try to inhabit his spirit for this song.
This might be a WFUV exclusive, but Mortal Primetime is a misheard lyric from an Iggy record.
Oh, great. Do tell.
I think certain people have figured it out already, but it is a misheard lyric, which is really cool. It's not the first time that I've done that.
All right. Well, I'm going to pour over my Iggy catalog and see if I can come up with. And the reference that I pointed out was we like your lips.
Yeah.
Going back to Fun Time from The Idiot.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
We love The Idiot. Yeah.
Nick, have you been on a roll with coming up with cool riffs lately? You know, going back to Shake. It just seems like you're really in a groove.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, riffs are so important to rock music, obviously. And I feel like we love guitar and we're not afraid. We don't shy away from big guitars and it's fun and tried and true. And that's, you know, the torch that we're carrying on.
Well, glad you're doing it.
Thank you.
And the title of the album also came from Champagne Taste with this now intriguing misheard lyric added to it. That one seems to be like a cool way to say you're at the peak of your powers. You know, it's prime time.
Absolutely.
Life is on, right?
Life is definitely on. I think we've always, as a band, been very intrigued by time and I think, you know, where we fit into it. And we've also been kind of growing up in public putting records out. So where we kind of are in our personal lives is always reflected on the records. And I think Mortal Primetime as a record is really bombastic, but it's also very vulnerable and quite delicate in places. And it's just very human. I think that's what we all have a really enduring interest in keeping a part of our records.
And the stakes are clear at the end of the song. When I'm finally dead, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I guess so. That, you know, that's what music is for. You know, it helps you interpret your mortality.
The new album is Mortal Primetime. It's FUV Live with Sunflower Bean. And there's a reference to mortality in the song you're about to do, Nothing Romantic, as well.
Yeah, this is a really, I think this song has a lot of the like kind of like that word bombastic I just mentioned, but that sort of arena rock feeling that's also very celebratory and the big harmonies. And I think people have heard a little bit of heart in that song, and I'm glad for that, because I don't think that's something we've channeled on any other recordings in that way.
I can see you all standing in the rain in the video.
Yeah.
This is Nothing Romantic from Sunflower Bean FUV Live. FUV Live with Sunflower Bean from Mortal Primetime. That's Nothing Romantic. And in addition to the vocal really sparkling on that, the production is fantastic.
Thank you.
The first self-produced LP from Sunflower Bean. You also self-produced Shake, the last EP, which is still pretty new too. and that one's really masterful, that little piano accent, and then the way it goes into just the piano and vocal at the end is very dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, Olive has been doing a lot of engineering herself in the past few years, and that kind of started for all of us in the pandemic, because we had no real option. You know, it was kind of like if we didn't come to the table and learn how to record, you know, we would just have been really stifled. So I think it's been cool to carry that forward on Shake and on the album, and I didn't really realize how meaningful it would be for people to hear our production style as well, because it's like a whole, it's a way deeper level to connect with the song. And I didn't realize how deep that could go. What do you think, Olive?
Yeah, it was really cool to do this. I think we were in a way ready for the first time now that we're older and can kind of like focus more, and we were able to really just like, you know, imagine the record as, you know, a painting kind of, and like choose our palette of colors before going in and really work within those limits, which kind of, I think, just created a really focused and like clear, pristine sound for the record and let us do, you know, the handful of elements just really well.
And is putting limits on it part of the technique where you might say, we're only going to use a handful of instruments, or, you know, we're not going to do overdubs, things along those lines?
Definitely. I think we had a really clear vision of what we wanted to do, so it didn't really feel like we were putting any limits on anything. We were just being intentional with how we wanted it to sound, and we recorded 15 songs in 15 days, so there wasn't really much time to change, you know, all the instruments and mic everything up, and it was just us in a room live tracking for the most part.
Love when it bleeds.
Yeah. We wanted to really have like that feeling of like a band playing in a room.
Those are always my favorite recordings. Can you give an example of a song that went through some changes with production, some choices were made that enhanced the song or transformed it?
I think there's a part.
Yeah.
Probably.
There's a part I really use, I really think about as an example of what I think makes our band and makes any band so special. I think the real power and value of a band is when your collaborators help you take something and give it a reason to exist. And I had that song kind of sitting around for a while, and, you know, a couple of years actually, and Olive and I had done a version of it. And then it was actually us working it through with Nick, who really kind of gave it that edge in the strumming and just in the pattern that really made it come to life. And it was missing kind of that grit that comes from, I think, all of his experience as a guitarist that I admire so much. I would also say I Knew Love really expanded in the studio. We built and wrote that whole ending section while we were in the studio. I think that was the largest piece of music that we wrote there, because we had everything else prepared. But that really sort of exploded to life with the piano and the cello, and you know, now that's going on to become a really exciting part of the live show. Sometimes you write something, you record it, then that starts to collaborate with what you do live, and then that goes back to the next recording. So everything's kind of in conversation with each other.
In a new way, maybe, with the production at a level it wasn't at, you know, going back to the first few albums.
Yeah, definitely.
Some aerobic workout from Nick during Nothing Romantic, trying to get all those pedals, right?
I'm glad you saw that. We were just talking about that in the car, because I was talking about, you know, the times where I mess up on stage and like what causes it, and like doing a little breakdown for my bandmates so they can understand why I might flub something once in a while. And I was like, the actual most difficult moment of the show for me is the transition between the intro and the verse on that song, because I need to turn on and off 5 different pedals. And one of, like, it's like 2 of them need to be turned off and 3 of them need to be turned on. And then I finally just realized, if I just go down the row and hit every single one, it is the sequence that I need. So now I figured that out. So now I can just go boom, 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 all down a row. Also, it affects what shoes I can wear on stage.
Well,
can't wear
up.
Boots. Yeah, no. So that's the...
The drama.
Yeah.
The problems in Nick's life.
And Julie, you got that 16-pound bass, so you're also getting a workout.
I do. Yeah, I do. I do. It's a, you know, these are physical jobs, but that's so cool. I mean, it's... I think that's something we've always liked about the process, and we've had a lot of, like, I think we've been in many parts of our career really grateful for the fact that, like, our whole existence doesn't have to be in front of a computer, which, you know, is what most everyone is subjected to.
That's pretty much as heavy as bass has come, though. 16 pounds, right? Didn't we look it up?
We need to put it on a scale. But I had a bunch of, I also had a bunch of other techs and different people try it. And I was like, hold it. It's because it has active.
I think a regular
inside.
Bass would be like 11 or 12 pounds.
It's just a little too much. But you know, you got to do it. You must rock at all costs.
That's heavier than all bowling balls.
I'm so glad that you're still together.
Yeah.
10 years since the first EP, and both Nick and Julia now on the West Coast and all of here in New York, like you ought to be.
That's right.
Of course. Was it close to disbanding after like a head full of sugar? Was there a crisis?
It's sometimes I think it's even hard for us to decipher. I think it was, you know, it was a creative impasse, really. And that was always such a happy place for us that I think when we reached it, it was very, very confusing. So it wasn't really a conversation of, you know, this is over. Also because, you know, we're a working band and this is our livelihoods. So, you know, we were still playing shows all during this time and it, you know, we still have to keep the live work going to keep ourselves going. So there wasn't really fully an option of stopping. But I think we were certainly extremely confused and confused enough to wonder legitimately if there was, you know, if we were ever going to find a place again that felt really synergetic and there would be, you know, just that excitement. And I think through getting some space and also through really the belief of our wonderful manager and creative director, Krista, and our label, Lucky Number, out of the UK, who are just so, they're just so artist-minded and so artist-focused that they really helped us believe and understand that if we could be true to ourselves, then that would be doing the best things for our fans as well. And really believed in us enough to say, you know, you guys are ready to go and try to record this. You know, you guys can do more than you even think that you can do. And I think that support and that perspective helped us really understand how precious the relationship that we have with each other is and the fact that there was still more music we needed to put out together.
A lot more.
Yes.
Before I let you roll, have you ever revealed the origin of Sunflower Bean, the name? And I think I know it, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got a little inside dope.
Okay, well, what do you think it is?
I think the sunflower came from Nick's love of sunflowers, sunflower seeds, and I think the bean came from Olive's propensity to drink many, many cups of coffee.
That's like the explanation, I guess, but it didn't really...
That's not really
like, you just said it one day.
I said it, and I was like, that sounds cool and positive, and I kind of liked that it was a made-up thing that doesn't exist.
And then the origin you thought up later?
Names are very funny, especially band names. I mean, I think most of them are, you know, on paper pretty weird and bad. But when I first was ever speaking to Nick, I think, in Brooklyn, and I really had this like full body feeling. I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to join that band. You know, like I knew it. There's not that many points in your life where those feelings happen, you know, and when they do, it's not like you ask for them, but you kind of have to pay attention for them. And I think for some reason, because of that moment, the name is kind of immortalized for me in that, because it's like, who knows why these things happen, but that's how the concept came to me in those two words. And I just knew that I was going to join that band. Not only did I know I was going to join the band, I said, oh God, I'm going to join that band and it's going to become my whole life. It's going to become our whole lives. I know it. I just know it. I knew it then. And that's exactly what has happened. So.
Well,
kind of weird.
You know, band names are so funny, obviously. They're just a hilarious thing that you have to have when you're a group. And so much of touring is meeting new random people, whether it's like at a restaurant or at the airport or at the gas station. And they're always that moment where they're like, so what's the group called? And then you have to tell them what it is. And I just instinctually say Sunflower Bean, like coffee bean. And then people are like, what? And I'm like, well, like coffee bean. Because people think we're saying Sunflower Beam all the time, because that kind of makes more sense. Does that happen to you?
It does. I would say also say that the number one reaction we get when we tell people we're named Sunflower Bean is,
Yeah, you know, and you're like, took on this other like slang term on the internet as being like this like cute thing, like people are like, oh, just a little bean, you know what I mean? But it's funny because it's not a name that I feel embarrassed to say to strangers or to, like, you know, when my grandparents were alive, I wasn't like, oh, I gotta tell my grandparents my band name. It's like something crazy, but like,
we're on a journey to make the word bean hard.
It's a great name, right? And as soon as you play Teach Me to Be Bad, you know, there goes the cue.
Exactly.
All right, so brilliant catching up with Sunflower Bean. Congrats on the great new album, Mortal Primetime. And drop by anytime. I hope we'll see you soon. And let's wrap up this FUV live session with What Do You Want to Do? Look What You've Done to Me.
Yeah, this is one of our favorites on the album. It's a really special song. And I don't think we're going to play it at many other sessions. We certainly haven't played it. So this is a special moment for us, too. And thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. From the Bronx in Studio A, here's Sunflower Bean.
I wanna love so hard it chokes me and it mocks me with its teeth. And I pass out from the pressure, ecstasy from the relief. I want that Eiffel Tower love so high that you can't see the peak. I don't need forever after, I need one good fantasy. I want your picture in my locker and your name inside my books. I wanna make
with Sunflower Bean performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Lucky Number Music. Thanks to our FUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and Holden Buckley. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Megan Suma produced this episode and is the executive producer of the show. Our theme music was produced by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of the sessions at WFUV.org. I'm Eric Holland. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York.